This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fih mubarakan alayhi kama yuhibbu rabbuna wa yarda jalla jalaluhu wa amma nawaluhu wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil habib al-mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد وذكر فإن الذكرى تنفع المؤمنين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدين النصيحة. One of the things about this faith that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and it's a very short statement but it's a very comprehensive one, and when you look at any statement you mustn't treat that statement as something independent. You must see where it's coming from, what must have been going through the speaker's mind, what may the purpose that he had, the meanings that he tried to convey, the context that was in front of him. And this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making a very general statement, a very comprehensive statement, trying to say ad-deen an-nasiha, the deen, the religion, is wishing well for others. Nasaha, nasiha. It's wishing well for others. Purifying, refining. These are all meanings that come from this term. The entire deen is like that. Or it's a major aspect of the deen. You can only say something is something when it's the integral part of it. Now, one of the things about nasiha and benefit is that if there was no nasiha, if there was no advice, mutual advice, then we would be in darkness. And this was the case of pre-Islam. If there was no advice and if there was not nobody telling each other what's good for them, what's bad for them, showing them the way of wisdom, showing them what's wrong, the evil consequences of things, then of course we would never be able to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'd never be able to have virtue, because humans, just by our nature, we lean towards the world, we incline towards the world. And what we need is, we need religion, we need perspective, we need virtue to keep us straight. So nasiha is something, just by its very nature, it benefits people. Sometimes it takes longer than at other times, but it definitely benefits people. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذَكِّرْ, advice, counsel, remind. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, because dhikra, reminders, reminders, they benefit the believers. They benefit the believers. How many things do we know to be good, to be virtuous, to be part of the deen, to be things that we've thought of many times in the past that we should be doing these things, and yet they're not part of our deen, and then suddenly they become part of our life and our behavior, our conduct. When we hear somebody remind us again, it did not impact us 5 years ago. We heard the same thing for 3 times, 4 times, or 5 times, or tens of times over the last several years. But then today, for example, it benefited us. It benefited us yesterday. That's the whole point of it. It's a reminder. It's not education as such. It is education in the larger scheme of things, of course. It's wisdom. That's what it's all about. But that's the whole point of it. The nasiha has so much benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves it. And that's why his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called the deen nasiha. Now let us understand one simple example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to explain the benefit of advice to others, counseling others, showing them the right way, he could have had so many examples that he has so many examples at his disposal that he could have chosen from to mention in the Quran. But he mentions a simple example of something we would consider to be totally insignificant, something that we don't give a second glance to. In fact, we think it's a nuisance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the surah that is then named by that single incident, which is Surah An-Naml, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quotes the ant saying, "Qalat namla." He says that the namla said, the single ant said, "Ya ayyuhan namlu dkhulu masakinakum." لَا يَحْطِمَنَّكُمْ سُلَيْمَانُ وَجُنُودُهُ وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. So look at the way he's even explaining this. He says, O colony of ants, O congregation, O group of ants, get back into your burrows. get back into your places of safety, because the forces of Sulaiman alayhi salam may trample over you while they don't know. So he's taking both sides into consideration here. Out of all of these examples, out of all the many multitude of examples that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have provided, he provides that of an ant, and shows that the ant features now in the Quran forever. It features in the Quran eternally because of the single act that it did, which was to have compassion for its fellow ants, to have compassion, to give them advice, to give them counsel, to make them feel safety, to give them a good direction. This is so valuable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he brings this aspect of the ant and mentions it in the Quran, and now it's there forever, and humans read this. Yeah, humans now read this at tilawa, and we are rewarded for reading it. That shows you the power of nasiha. The other thing about nasiha is that nasiha is not only for others. When a person gives nasiha, then you benefit yourself, because you feel like a hypocrite if you don't benefit from it. So the power of nasiha is so potent, it's so valuable, that when you advise others, you advise yourself as well. When you advise others, you introspect. You think, I can't say this if I'm not doing it myself. So then you start to make a regimen of trying to stop doing that thing yourself and then telling others. Now, one of the things that we have to realize is that, unfortunately, nasiha giving has become a very formal task. Nasiha giving and advice to others, and this form of compassionate advice, has become a very formal task and very official task. Only the imam gives it. It's only done from the mimbar. It's only done from the stage. It's only done from on the pulpit. It's only done from behind the lectern. It's only done in official, you know, in official writings. Unfortunately, day-to-day things is very difficult for us to give nasiha today. In this time of individualism, it becomes very difficult. People aren't willing to listen. When I say people, let's not look at others. How defensive do we get when somebody tells us something? Criticism, as long as it's constructive, is a very good thing. We're supposed to be open to that. We're supposed to learn from others. That's the whole point of nasiha. But we are so protective and so defensive over ourselves and our children even, that nobody can even tell our children off if they're doing the wrong thing. Today in the masjid, children go around and do as they please, unlike it was 20, 30 years ago, when somebody or the other would try to set them right. Today you're fearful that if you tell somebody, or their son, or their daughter, that, you know, they're doing this, that, or the other, you will have a backlash. And that's why when this nasiha is destroyed from our community, except in a formal situation, then that is where we really deteriorate as a society. Nasiha is supposed to be for every Muslim. It's not just for every imam or writer. It's not just for every lecturer. It's not just for every speech giver. But it's actually for every Muslim, that we need to be those who are constantly trying to tell people and telling ourselves and trying to rectify ourselves. This virtue should be in our mind. Of course, we need to avoid the extremes in this regard. The militant da'wah that people give, where they suddenly become enlightened after years of doing wrong and being in the wrong crowds and in the wrong activities, and suddenly now they want to change everybody overnight. It doesn't happen that way. They become military about this. They become extremely violent about this. That's an extreme. But good nasiha, full of wisdom and compassion, for people to try to understand their situation and try to then explain, leave a few points here and there so that they can understand. Nasiha doesn't mean that you have to go and tell them in the face. Nasiha does not mean that you have to go and push somebody away from something, grab something out of their hand and break it. That's not nasiha only. There are many aspects of nasiha. And today we need to learn what compassionate nasiha is, where you really have the focus of that person in your mind, where you really have love for the welfare of that individual in your mind. Not that I want to get a better name at it because I'm, you know, really good at telling people to do this, and I want to just establish proof against them. That's not the point of nasiha. This kind of harshness does not generally work. It's about leaving a point in their mind, just saying something, just leaving a point that they can then reflect upon, sending them a book maybe, maybe sending them a link of something. There are many, many ways of doing this. And the more wiser we are about this, the more successful we will be. However, if we have sincerity, and we have some wisdom, we'll always be successful. Now remember, things aren't going to change all of a sudden. It takes time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly recording. That's what we have to realize. If we give somebody nasiha, we give somebody da'wah, We invite somebody to Islam. We invite somebody to the masjid. You know, at any different level. And they don't respond to us. That doesn't mean it's all lost. That doesn't mean it's redundant. That doesn't mean our act has been futile. All it means is that you have put the seed. And we have to drop as many seeds as possible. We have to contribute as much as possible. Allah is recording all of these instances. Slowly, slowly, you've already got a place into their hearts when you've mentioned something. You may have not seen a positive reaction straight away. But at least you've given them the point of view. You've told them there's a better way to do this. You've told them that this is sinful what they're doing. You've told them that the virtue is in this direction and not in that direction. They may not be able to come away from that straight away. People have context that they have to deal with. It's very difficult to change all of a sudden. But the next time they hear something, the next time they're in trouble, the next time they suffer a setback, they will remember this. And that will come and you get the reward for this, though you've forgotten, though you never saw it. But that is your seed that has now germinated, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps account. So we must keep all of these things into consideration. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings a person who's not a prophet according to the majority of ulama, Luqman. Luqman is considered, Sayyidina Luqman, he is considered to be one of the great sages, one of those with great wisdom. He's mentioned in the Quran for his wisdom. For his wisdom. So we, when we speak and when we are there for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will help us say the right thing. Allah will give us that form of insight and that form of wisdom. We may not become Luqman alayhi salam, we may not become like him, but we will have some form of wisdom that we can help others with. Everybody to their level, and everybody will reap the benefits of this in the hereafter. We must be open-minded. One thing, for example, some of the experts, they say that when you want to tell somebody something and it's kind of a form of criticism, don't tell them when they're standing. When people are standing, there's some research that they've done that they don't have the capacity to tolerate, to accept. Sitting down is a better situation. They're less likely to get up and do something about it. So calmly sit down and speak. Sometimes the best way, in fact, they say, is that when they're lying down. They will be much more tolerant, much more accepting if they're lying down. Of course, you can't get everybody to lie down unless you invite them to your house, give them a nice meal, tell them, you know, lie down, just relax, put some pillows out there. But then start, you know, brother, you know, I was going to tell you something and so on. Don't take it bad, but this is what I was going to tell you. There's ways of doing this. There's ways of doing this, but generally don't just kind of catch somebody outside the masjid. Or catch somebody on the way and then start telling them something, because you're going to get a bad reaction in most cases. People have a lot of dignity for themselves, unfortunately. But we have to open up to others. We have to be constantly reflecting. The Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sa'idu man wu'idha bi ghayri." That the fortunate one, and sa'id is to do with sa'ada. Sa'ada is generally spoken about in terms of the fortune of the hereafter, success in the hereafter, as opposed to shaqawa. So you have sa'ada and you have shaqawa. Sa'ada is good fortune in the hereafter, success. And shaqawa is wretchedness in the hereafter, failure. So shaqi and sa'id. Right? So you have the sa'id and you have shaqi. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "As-sa'idu man wu'idha bi ghayri." Sa'id is the one, meaning sa'id, the fortunate one, is the one who gains advice from others. This could be active advice that people are giving him and they accept. But better still, the one who will truly be successful is the one who takes this without anybody telling him. He just looks at the foolishness of the fools and says, "I need to avoid that." He looks at the miserliness of the miser and he says, "I need to avoid that." And it spurs him on to generosity. He sees the extremism of those who are extreme and he says, "I can't be like that. I see myself going in that direction." He sees the laxity. He sees the sloth of those who are on the opposing end and he says, "I can't be like that, I need to do something." It's the one who's constantly thinking. It's the one who's constantly taking a lesson. He's giving himself, إِنَّمَا يَتَذَكَّرُ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Fadhakir," give advice, because advice and reminder, it helps the believers, it benefits them. On the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Innama yatadhakkaru ulul albab." The people who really have intellect, true intellect, not intellect good enough to give them PhDs or to give them a good breakthrough in science or make them win the Nobel Prize, but it's actually the intellect that, with all of this, maybe it gives them the sa'ada in the hereafter. That's what you call true intellect, ulul albab. The one with the true intellect, they are the ones that take heed and advice. And you don't have to wait for somebody to give you advice. Somebody asks Isa alayhi salam, "Man addabak?" Who gave you, who taught you conduct and manners and this beautiful conduct that you have? He says, "Nobody." He says, I just saw the foolishness of the fools and I decided to avoid it. I decided to avoid it. So he's constantly looking around thinking, well, am I like that as well? I remember once I said to somebody, man, that guy looks weird. And he says, you know what? You're probably weird as well to somebody. There's probably something that you do that you're weird. We're weird to different people. It's all perspective, isn't it? Sometimes we become very comfortable in what we're doing, even though it is not normal. We become very comfortable, we justify because we love ourselves more than anybody else. That is the one thing that helps us to justify any wrongs that we do. So if we don't have wisdom and we don't have intellect, that is going to really make us think, and this ability to do tadhakkur, to accept nasiha, to ponder, to reflect, and then to imbibe within one ourselves, then that's when we're lost. Because we'll be lost in our own pride and arrogance and conceit and self-love. And that is one of the greatest problems that we have today.